Thank you, Miss Angela. That was great. Now you know who the real choir is. I mean, Angela, we try our best, but it's Angela. She's just such a great voice and such a heart for the Lord. Okay, I wanted to preach today about a message. I've been holding this message, I'd say, about 7 years. So I never preached it to anyone else. I've had it. I started it one time, and so I just felt like this is the right time. Actually, I had another message. I asked Pastor what he wanted me to preach. I told him what some of my points were, and he said, oh, that'd be great. And he said, oh, why don't you add this to it? And then the next thing I know, Pastor preached the message last Sunday night. So, hey, he's a pastor. So I had to really go to my toolbox and find something else I wanted to preach about. So, but I'm excited that this was something that I've always wanted to preach. So today we're going to preach about a foundation. And Brother Bob, you spurred it on to me. One time you were preaching, and you were talking about a house close to your Brother Jose and Mrs. Carmen's house, and you said you were looking at it, and you were interested in it, but when you were looking at the house across the yard, I think you said, it was it had a bad foundation. And when you saw that it had a bad foundation, you said, no good. And so you thought, you know, you went another direction. And I remember when I first moved into my house, right across the street, we had this big house. It had black mold in it, and Brother Joe said, mold is gold. And so we got it for a real good price. But one thing I noticed, there was a room upstairs that it looked like there was a slant. And I had a marble in my hand, and I was like, wow. And it was a hardwood floor. And so I put it in the far corner of the room. I put the marble, and it slanted all the way out to the hallway. I was like, oh, that's probably not a good thing. So we had a friend of ours. He's an architect, a professional architect. Could have charged me an arm and a leg. He wouldn't have got it, but he could have charged me an arm and a leg. And he came and was helping us with our house. And I said, what about this slant? I said, I put a marble, and it slanted all the way down. He said, oh, that's just the foundation. He said, don't worry. This is no problem. He said, that's what they make jacks for. He said, we can jack up your basement. You won't even notice that. That would be no problem going forward. And sure enough, we put three jacks in our basement, and it didn't look like it had a slant anymore. And I put a marble in there, and it stood still. So thankfully, that was taken care of. But I have, when I was thinking about some bad foundation, I was also thinking about some good foundations. And I have a good foundation here. It's a video, and I think you guys will appreciate this. It's a Pastor and Mrs. Bloom's 50th wedding anniversary. And this is a great foundation. And so I wanted to play it for you guys. I thought you would enjoy it. And so, Bob, good to go. Thank you. Excellent. I saw that video, and I just thought about the pastor and Mrs. Bloom. They, for sure, without a question, they did it exactly the right way. Their foundation was built. They were both serving the Lord, and they just kept moving forward, and God put them across each other's paths. They got married after a good time, and they have all those kids. And then they got so many grandkids. It's just amazing. And I thought, no, there's no better foundation than that. And so that's one of the ones I wanted to put down for. But everything in life depends upon foundations. Houses are built on solid foundations that support the structures that we call a home. A business's success depends upon a foundation. It's called like a business plan. I think of even our church. It's, I mean, I don't know if everyone knows what our slogan is, our saying is, but building lives on a solid foundation. I mean, that's what our church is striving for. And so as adults, we are a product of foundations. And it's developed when we're younger, and we are taught things, and we use it in our lives, and we grow, and hopefully we're going to pass it on to others. And just like homes, the durability and growth of our spiritual life is entirely dependent on its foundation. Without a solid foundation, it's going to crumble. And none of us want that to happen, but it can happen. So a solid foundation laid is essential. And we build upon them things of the value for the Lord. God is appreciated when we have solid foundation. So I have a short message. I think it'll be short. Thanks, Matthew. It's a five-pointer. My wife said, why 5 points? I said, 5 points, just don't ask, but 5 points. And we must understand there's five forms to build a firm foundation. And the first form of a firm foundation is to follow. That's a hard, for kids especially, it's hard sometimes to follow. Follow instructions, follow what you've learned. But in Luke 6:39, we're going to go through all these verses, but in Luke 6:39, it states, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Whom we follow determines our direction, our destination. When I first was saved, I had a wife that she was smart enough to know that I needed to follow the right people. I needed to have good role models. I had people in the church that I needed to follow. And for whatever reason, a lot of them were a lot older than me. I'd say 10, 15 years older than me. But those people were mature, and they were people I really learned from. I mean, they really taught me a lot of things. Sure, there was sometimes I'd want to hang out. There's guys that love sports. I would love to hang out with them. But Patty's like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't hang out with them as much. She knew something. I was just first saved. I didn't know what I was doing when I first got saved. I didn't have my foundation built. But when I listened to my wife and I started hanging out with the mature Christian men at our church, and it really helped me out with my walk. In verse 40, it says, the student, is not above the master or his teacher, but everyone that is perfect, like properly trained, shall be as the master, as his master or teacher. So choosing whom we will follow is extremely important. Following the wrong person could lead to destruction. Your foundation is going to just fall. So I always think of, I love these verses in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I actually got the whole thing memorized, but I love that verse 1. It's telling us that we're not going to be happy unless we follow the right people. I know Jose, he can say that. He's been full tilt. He's been in it. He's behind. He's hanging out with the right men. And I'll tell you, he'll say that without these people in his life, he's not going to keep going and moving forward and moving upward. He's probably had times in his life where he's hung out with the wrong people. And do they really care for your soul? Do they really care that you're living for the Lord? No, they don't. And so don't hang around with negative people or worldly people. Hang around people that love the Lord. You'll know it. You can see it. You can tell them who they are in our church. So choose time. I think of Brother Eric. He's someone to hang out with. I don't like to just hit the golf ball. I like to go on a golf course. But he said, hey, you want to go to the driving range? And so I want to be with that guy. I want to learn from him. I want to hear what's going on in his mind. And so I said, sure, I'll go. I'll hit the golf ball with you. And we had a good time. So, pastor, that's another good person. Your family, if you've got a family that is saved, they're ones to hang out with. They'll give you good counsel. They'll give you wise. It says in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God designs his teachers to instruct us in the rules and standards. That's what I was going to preach about, too, standards. But the rules and standards that when we follow will produce the structure for us to make good decisions in our life. When we are trained and taught right from wrong, we can become as a teacher. You learn so much from, I've learned so much through the years. I got a few people that I really learned from. But one of my friends, his name's Richard Wilkerson. He's in Michigan. He's in Warren, Michigan. And he went through a real horrible car accident, so he's really going through it. But I told him the good side is he looks really good. He's skinny. He can't, you know, he's lost like 20-something pounds, and so he looks really great. I said, but I don't think it was worth it. So, but he told me, after learning and hanging out with him, he said to me, when I moved here, he said, I want to just let you know, the one thing I'm very grateful for and I appreciate is that you're still following God after all these years. You moved to Scranton, but you didn't get away from God. You didn't stop serving. You didn't start doing things in church. You kept going forward. You kept moving. And he said, that makes me so happy. I'm mad that you moved, but I'm happy that you're still serving the Lord. And so that really affected me, and that really touched me when he said that. And so, first one is to follow. Second form of a firm foundation is to focus. This is the one, if I had to tell you one that I have a hard time, focus. It's always easy to look at the flaws of others rather than to look at your own flaws. Guilty. I'm raising my hand up. It's hard to stay focused on what's really your issue. And that's what I'm guilty of. It says in Proverbs 26, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I want to be that. I think of Joe. My pastor talks about Joe, and he deserves it. He's a faithful man. He doesn't need the acclaim. He doesn't need to be put up on that pedestal. He just serves. Pastor says this, I can attest to this. I've never heard him say no to our pastor. I, on the other hand, I have said no before, and so I'm trying to work on that. But Brother Joe, he's a faithful man, and that's a great, he's focused. He's focused on serving God, and he could be doing anything, but he's here serving God and serving our pastor. Many people are able to share how good they are to others, but are they really actually that good? I know that's it's hard. I want to be. I don't want to be a talker. I want to be a walker. I had a pastor before I left Michigan. There was a pastor. He's a young pastor. He took over our church for Pastor Crabb, and this guy was a phenomenal preacher. He could preach the fire out of the Bible. But I've known him. I knew him. I hung out with him. I've been friends with him. But I never, and I mean, I always wanted to hang out with a pastor, but I never, ever saw the man lead someone to the Lord. I mean, he was a credible, gifted speaker, but he never had any fruit in his life. He could talk with the best of them, but his walk wasn't there. And I just, to this day, I still think about that. I mean, he's no longer pastoring anymore. And it's, You can talk all the talk, but you got to walk it. That's one thing I think about Pastor Bloom. I think of on Saturdays, he goes out, he gets here at 9 o'clock, he does prayer meeting, then he goes over the Sunday school lesson, then he does the next meeting. And the guy just works tirelessly. I mean, he's just, so he doesn't just talk it, he walks it. You can't take that away from that man. I know he's a man, he's, you know, flesh, but that man works hard, and his foundation is solid. And I'm thankful that we have a pastor that does not only talk it, but he walks the walk. Now, if you can turn to John, this is when I have to, John chapter 8, verse 3. John chapter 8, verse 3. When you get there, John chapter 8, verse 3, I'm going to read this to you. It says, "And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." We as Christians need to be more lenient toward those that are struggling and going through things in their lives. I can tell you just recently with me, I was like, where's my friend Jesse? I haven't seen him in a while. But you know what? Just because I haven't seen him in a while doesn't mean that he's been slacking off or doing wrong. Oh, he's over there. Okay, good. I got to be careful now. No, he's not slacking off or doing wrong. He's going through things. I mean, he had his dad that was really not doing well. He had his mother. She was in the hospital. I got to see her in the hospital, and she was just not doing well. And I think about when I had my mother. She had dementia, and I just had one parent. He had two parents that were going through it. So we got to have compassion on others. We don't know what other people are going through. And who are we to look out on others and say, where are they, what's going on? They're slacking off, they're doing this, talking bad about someone. No, we shouldn't. We should just worry about ourselves. Look in the mirror sometimes, and I'm guilty. I'm not preaching to anyone. This is someone I'm preaching to myself. So I know I have my own things to deal with. But maybe you can point them to Christ and help them in a godly way only if they approach you and ask for that help. If I can't help someone, someone comes to me and asks for help and I can't help them, I'll point them to the next person or I'll say, I'll get right back to you. It's foolish to compare ourselves with anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that seems like, well, the Lord Jesus. No, if we can stick by his example, focus on his measuring stick, we will be less inclined to turn a blind eye to our own flaws and not worry about other people. We'll worry about our own flaws, own things that we do wrong. And so focus. Don't focus on others. Focus on yourself. Focus on living like Jesus lives. Focus on living a life that's pure and righteous. And we're going to fall short, but that's the way we should live. And so the third form of a firm foundation is fruitfulness. Fruit means like outcome or result. These verses in 43, let me get to my 43 through 45, it says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." I like those verses. Those are good verses. And it's a comparison of fruit, the outcome of the result. The fruit is things that we do in our lives that please God. It's a good result. A good man will bring forth that which is good from the good treasure of his heart. But when the motive is good, your outcome will be good. When your motive is bad, I'm sorry, but it's always going to be a bad outcome. But if you have thoughts of bitterness, resentment, anger, faced with adversity, your passion will run amok, rampant. And so I speak of experience. Don't just hold it in, ask God, let it boil over. Because if you don't let something boil over, if you let bitterness just harbor and just get deeper and deeper into your heart and your body, it's never going to bother that person. It's just going to bother you. So let it go. That's what I always say. Don't hold it in. Let it go. And just think of good things. Matthew 12:34 says, "For out of the abundance great quality of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And not only are we supposed to have goodness, but we're supposed to have abundance. That means great quantity. But if it can work both ways, we can use our God-given passion for love, joy, peace, and other fruits of the spirits when faced with the circumstance, then we're going to respond correctly. We won't have that bitterness, that anger. So it's impossible for a good tree to bear bad fruit, or a bad tree to prepare good fruit for us. So what does God really want to see by us being fruitful? I'm glad you asked. The answer is really easy. It's in John 15:8. What God wants to see by us being fruitful. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." God is glorified, made to look good, when we bear much fruit. It's that simple. So it's telling us we got to bear much fruit in much quantity. So that is the only way that we're going to make God look good. The fruit of a Christian can be summed up in Proverbs 11:30. And I like this, and I think of certain people when I read this verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I one time had that verse up in my classroom upstairs. I love that verse. Especially the end, he that winneth souls is wise. I want to be wise. I don't want to be not smart by not going out. We got a great thing here. If you're truly saved and you truly love Jesus and you love the Lord, you won't want to just keep it for yourself. You'll want to go out and tell other people. I mean, that makes God happy. And so when you begin to invest your time and energy into the internal destination of others, that pleases God. And so I want to please God. So that's things I want to keep serving them. I let it any way that I can do it. Pastor asked me to do something. I won't say no anymore. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say whatever you need, Pastor. I'll do it. And so that's something that makes God happy when we do stuff like that. And the fourth form of a firm foundation is fulfilling God's request. So obedience, that's to God, is a requirement for success in supporting your structure of life. Next verse, it's in verse 46, it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" How can we call him master yet refuse to obey him? I mean, that just doesn't make sense. We got God, and he tells you to do something, obey him. I remember, this is a true story, I'd say about 5 years ago, my favorite sport, people always think it's baseball. I love baseball, but my favorite sport, I love bowling. I got to bowl with Brother Jose before. I love bowling. And I had a 215 average back when I was in Michigan, and I would golf with our church friends, and not golf, but bowl with our church friends. And I had 215 average. We won our league. The 2 years that we did it, we won the league championship. And I love bowling, but I've had two games where I've got the first 11 strikes, and I got down to that last strike, and I choked. The first one, I threw a 7-pin, so I got a 297. And I said, next time that happens, I'm just going to bear down, and I'm going to get that last strike. I think it's the hardest thing to do. Golf, you can hit a lucky shot, and it can go in the hole for a hole-in-one. Bowling, you got to have 12 great balls, and 12 decent balls, and you can get strikes from those. And if you get 12 strikes, you got a 300. Well, I got up to that point again, and I got 11 strikes, and I bared down. I threw a perfect ball, but the 10-pin just, bam, stood still. And so I've always wanted to get my brother-in-law, he's got 300. Johnny Nine's got 300 game. I've always wanted that 300 game. They give you a ring. I think they give you other things. It's really a cool honor to have. And so I always wanted it. Well, I was in this area, and I met a guy, and this guy says, "I got a bowling league. You're going to love it. Come on out. We could use you." And so I said, I've been wanting to bowl again. I've been excited about it. And he said, "Only thing is, it's kind of a late night. It's at 8:30 on a Thursday night." 8:30 on a Thursday night. And it's out in Duryea, so it's going to be a long haul for you to get here. And the lights go on at this time. So the lights go on at like 7:45 and such. And so that's soul winning night. I said, I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to blow off soul winning, and I'm going to try for that 300 game. I've always wanted that 300 game. And I keep thinking, I always wanted that 300. I wanted to have that honor. But God didn't bless me. I never even got close. I think my highest game that during that league that I bowled, I was maybe 260, 270. So I never even got close. God did not honor me. And you know what? As the year kept going on, I started getting convicted. I'm like, wow, my wife and people from the church, they're all going out soul winning. And here I'm just going out and having fun chasing a stupid dream of mine. And when I could be doing something that would be pleasing God. And so God told me never again. So I'd be lying if I said I haven't attempted to do the bowling league, but I would never do it on a Thursday again. And so God convicted me. Don't go, don't blow off the things that I want you to do. And so God, he talks to you. God wants to communicate with us. He leads and instructs us through our preachers, our teachers. I learn a lot from Pastor Bloom. I'm not that bright of a guy, so I say, Lord, just give me one or two things that I get from Pastor's message that I can use in my life. And God always honors that. He blesses that. Brother Eric, he teaches me a lot of things. I'm always there for his chapels. I sit around the church when we have school, and I don't go and leave when we have chapel time. I want to learn from these men of God. And so God, he leads and instructs us through preachers. He gives wisdom through many counselors. I have friends from Michigan that give me a wise counsel. Recently a guy said, I wouldn't say what you're thinking. I would kind of table that. Just think of Job. He didn't talk a lot of times. He just kept things in. And I listened to his advice, and you know what? He had good advice, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to just put that in and throw that away. I'm never going to think about that again. And so, good counselors. You got to have good counselors. God will communicate us through this Bible. I love this Bible. Every day, my wife and I, we read this Bible, and I think we're on our fifth or sixth year, and it's a good time where me and my wife get to spend together, and we get so much from this Bible. I think of Matthew yesterday. He was telling us what he got from the Bible, and he gave us a mini devotion. He was just going to tell us like something, but he was excited about it. And that's what this Bible will do. It'll get you excited. It'll get you where you want to read it. I know when I was reading the book of Esther, I didn't want to put that down. We only had to read three chapters that day. I wanted to continue. I wanted to finish this story up. And so the Bible will guide and direct us. Also, he communicates to us in prayer. God will always, when I'm praying, God will teach me something, tell me something that I forgot, maybe I needed to do. And then also, he'll lead and convict us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So these five forms of communication are needed to help us fulfill things in our lives. So the primary function of the Holy Spirit is to give us the power to fulfill God's request. It says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I mean, being up here on this platform, it's an honor, but I ask God just to take me away. I spent probably 6 hours preparing this message, trying to figure out what I wanted to say. I was here all day yesterday. Sarge had my classroom. He put a nice wax on it. I love being in it. It smelled good in my classroom, and I got to work in it. That's like my office. I love writing messages in there, and I spent a lot of time, but I said, God, thank you for helping me with this, but you just got to move me out of the way, and you got to be... I got to this altar before I left last night, about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I said, God, I can't do this. I'm no good. I can't even speak. I'm a horrible speaker. But God, you can use me. You can use me up here on this platform. And I said, I need that Holy Spirit to show up big tomorrow. And God, he never fails you. When you ask things not amiss, when you ask it in his that's something that would please him, he always answers your prayers. There's no way I was always the worst speaker in school, and there's no way I could talk in front of people, but God, he makes it available. And the Holy Spirit living inside you pours that out, and you are able to do things that you don't think you could normally do. Going out soul winning, I get scared talking to people. I'm always afraid that someone's going to come around the corner and be angry and like throw punches or do something to me. But God, I just say, hey, take me out of the way. God, I need your help. And God, he does it. And when it's not you, and it's God, you'll be miraculously, you'll say things like, I can't believe I remembered that. I can't believe I used that example. Holy Spirit never fails, and I'm so thankful that we have that. So no more soul winning skips for bowling. I'm going to keep going out. I'm going to be fulfilling God's request. I'm going to, whatever pastor says, I'm always going to say yes. And when the devil tries to tease me, because I did have a guy say, I'll pay for your bowling. You start up a league, and I'll pay for your bowling. I said, get behind me, Satan. Nope, can't do that. I don't want to do that. And so I use my head. So if we reject his teaching and leading, we will eventually reject his feeding. If you stop reading your Bible, if you stop praying, if you stop serving him, it's a slow demise, and that foundation is going to be ripped apart. And so remember, if you're serving God, you are comfortable. If you're comfortable when you're serving God, then you're not doing something right. When you're comfortable, it's not, you know, it's in your power, it's not his power. I like when I'm not comfortable and I just feel like I'm out of my boat. I don't want to ever walk after my flesh. So Romans 8:5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do the things of the Spirit." Don't call him Lord, Master, or Teacher unless you are doing exactly what he says, fulfilling his request. Last one. The fifth form of a firm foundation is founded. If we are founded on the right foundation, we will have a crazy desire to follow the right people. We're going to focus on our own spiritual needs. We're going to bear fruit that glorifies God, and we're going to fulfill God's request of obedience. In Luke 47 through 48, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock." I think of our rock, Jesus Christ. Thank God we are. It's the foundation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "For other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus is our rock, and I always want that as my foundation. I was going to put up here, and I had serious thoughts. I always, when I think of a foundation, I was going to put a nightstand or a little table, and I was going to put a deck of cards, and I was going to, always when I did, I built a house with a deck of cards, I would build that bottom layer really good. I'd make it really firm, and then I'd put a layer on top, and I'd keep building, and I'd build that house up. And I was going to do it and show you guys. I'm pretty good at it. I haven't done it in a while, but I was going to build it. But I got to be honest with you, the fear of Dominic and Jasmine coming in here this morning, I thought that thing was going to tumble, and I would have to build it again, and it would take too much. So, but that's a foundation. And the foundation is that relationship. If 1 Corinthians, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This will be the last one, pretty much, that we'll turn to. 1 Corinthians chapter, I read the first part, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." But I like the rest of the verses through 17. It says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide with which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Paul goes on to explain that, and the structure is so important that you want to have a structure of value to the Lord. God's judgment will determine whether one day you either wasted the foundation or you actually used it wisely. You built something of value on it. I pray that everyone builds something of value to it. And that's what we're doing, in church, that's what we're doing, going out and serving him. And so you get to the very last verse, and I promise this is it. The very last verse, it says in Luke 6:49, it says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did vehemently and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." It gives us the other side of the story, that this man didn't follow the instructions that God has given us on how to build a structure. Instead, he built it upon the earth, the dirt of this world. And I think of that last part of that verse. It says, "And the ruin of that house was great." That's sad to me that he knew, but that ruin of that house was great. Our foundation will determine the durability of our structure when we go through the storms of life. I am so prayerful that these five forms of a firm foundation can be five solid molds that will be the basis for your supporting your structure to the one and the only Jesus Christ. And so I pray that we would have a great structure, you know, follow, focus, fruit, that we would use these things in our lives to help us grow. And so that is my message. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, so much for this message that you gave. Thank you, Lord, that we have a church that is building lives on a solid